Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed each week. If you've missed the first half of this show, don't worry. Head back to the website, www.podculture.net, and grab the first half. And now, on with the second half of Pod Culture. Now comes the point of the show where we kind of have to pay our penance. Because I'm feeling a little bit guilty about
Brad
things.
Never feels guilty.
Yeah.
Are we kidding?
So, Glenn, what do you have for us this time for guilty pleasures?
I'm the one that never feels guilty and probably should.
Because all the crap you watch.
Have a comment for you at the end of this episode. Off the stage.
Well, I have H.P. Lovecraft's From Beyond, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen this, if you're familiar with H.P. Lovecraft's work or any of these movies.
I've heard the name before.
He did lots of really dark things dealing with the ancient ones, the, like, elder gods and stuff.
Oh, Cthulhu.
Cthulhu, Pythagorean.
Cthulhu, exactly.
Kids first.
There
was a license plate. That's
there was a whole parody song called Cthulhu Pythagorean to the tune of Hakuna Matata.
Okay.
Scary.
Anyway, God, it's hilarious.
Well, this is a movie I saw on, like, you know, cable years ago before I even really knew about H.P. Lovecraft. And then I've started to get into his work a little bit more. Not that I'm going back and reading his novels like I probably should, but, you know, just reading things about him and about the group of writers that have taken on his universe and written other stories in his universe. He's more popular now than he ever was, you know?
Isn't that always the way?
And one thing that's interesting, it's long enough ago now that a lot of his early works are public domain, so people can really, you know, make movies and write books and things about it and, you know, not have to worry about licensing.
Being sued.
But I had seen this, and I remembered it was very bizarre, and I didn't really know much about it or anything, and I was doing some searching on Amazon, and I came across this, and it said that this director, his name's Gordon, he had made a couple of H.P. Lovecraft movies, and they said this was his best, but because of the rating system at the time, they had just edited big chunks of it out and left it very hard to understand.
Hack and slash. Mm-hmm.
And now it's finally been put back together in the director's cut the way it was meant to be, and it's supposedly a lot better and all and stuff. You know, I mean, still it's an 80s B-movie, you know, it's not the best thing ever, but very bizarre, kind of cool, and you know, I'm not good with people's names, but
we're lucky he remembers our names.
I know.
Yeah, and sometimes I don't.
No. Sometimes he wishes he didn't.
But Jeffrey Combs is the star.
Oh.
And, you know, he's in everything.
He's like, I think he's been in pretty much every incarnation of, he's played more different characters on Star Trek than anyone else.
Do I know him from anything else?
Reanimator.
No.
Was Jeffrey Combs in The Frighteners as the police chief guy?
You know, I don't know.
IMDb it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a friend who introduced me to Frighteners, actually, and she had this fascination for this one particular actor, and she would point this person out in every single movie. It's like, there's that guy again. There's that guy again. So it might be. I don't know.
One of the characters in here is a cop, and he's played by Ken Foree, who was in, what is it, the, is it Dawn of the Dead?
Okay.
Yeah, not the remake, but the original. The original Dawn of the Dead.
Okay.
He's one of the cops in that, one of the SWAT guys.
Okay.
Okay, speaking of Jeffrey Combs,
yeah.
I brought him up on IMDb, and I haven't scrolled down to find out if he really is yet, but I just saw one announced for 2008.
Tell me.
House of Reanimator.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Is there anything I've seen?
So, you know, you'll recognize Ken Foree if you're into that sort of movie. I'm into zombie movies quite a bit. But the, I don't know, H.P. Lovecraft's From Beyond is bizarre. This mad scientist is experimenting with other dimensions.
Ooh.
And he creates this machine that stimulates this gland in your head and lets you see other dimensions.
Ooh.
Hey, crap, he was in Babylon 5, too.
What did he play?
Harriman Gray.
Oh.
The problem is, if you can see them,
they can see you.
Ultraman.
What's that?
Ultraman.
He was an Ultraman.
Yep. Ultraman, the ultimate hero. One episode in 1994.
Okay, that must have been... Oh, 94.
A quartet of creatures.
That must have been... I was thinking, in the early 90s, there was the Australian version, but there was...
He was in The Flash.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Wait, wrong show.
Everything. The thing is, there was that Ultraman series that was made in California that was never aired in America.
Oh.
So that's probably
bizarre.
What it was in. Yeah, very bizarre. Very pissed me off, too.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. They go to California and make it with American actors speaking English, and then they dub it in Japanese and show it in Japan, and it never shows here in America. And it was a remake of... the classic, the original Ultraman. They were actually remaking all the episodes. So
just the way you said very pissed me off. Sorry, Brad. He's shaking his head at me.
Well, okay, so this machine stimulates your pineal
gland.
And lets you see these creatures. And then, of course, when they see you, they go to attack you and eat you and stuff.
What's the gland?
The pineal gland.
Oh, okay.
Alfred Tinglehost. Is the character's name. Just looking on IMDb.
I love IMDb.
Talking.
We should do this more often. Oh. That way you can fill in all the actual facts from my...
I'll have my laptop
What
on
was the movie
time.
You were talking about?
Frighteners.
Frighteners. Okay, let me see.
We mentioned that earlier in the show.
No.
Or later in the show, depending on how I edit.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's time travel.
That's right.
We have our
Doctor artists. Who fans.
Yeah, we have our entire...
But the familiar theme in all the H.P. Lovecraft stories is people see things that are way too much for them to cope with, and they go crazy.
Speaking of Dr.
Kind of like that lady in the first Lawnmower Man.
Yeah. I haven't seen... That looked too... Like, I wanted to see that, but I knew I'd be scared.
I really liked Lawnmower Man at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how close it was to the original story, but it was pretty neat. And,
that's cool.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yes, he was. He was in The Frighteners.
He was in
all
The
right.
Frighteners.
Awesome.
All right.
Milton Dammers.
Milton.
I'm looking forward to watching Frighteners again.
So. I'm totally going to have to send my friend Kathy a link to this show so that she can feel the glory.
Yay!
Yep. Okay, now I can actually pay attention to what Glenn's saying.
I don't
bother. We're talking about you, Mr.
Okay.
Well, as a side effect of being exposed to this machine, it makes the gland actually grow.
Ooh.
And it kind of creates like a third eye kind of thing where the person is... open to psychic phenomenon and things.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, they can see these creatures from the other dimension. It also happens to excite them sexually.
Of course.
So, of course, everybody starts going crazy and
in other dimensions.
Around,
yeah.
And, you know, and this one scientist gets actually his head eaten off.
Ew.
And it's kind of interesting. The cops come in.
Ow.
And they find the body, but there's no head because the head was eaten by the creature in the other dimension.
Oh, my gosh.
So they can't find the head. But when the hero, Jeffrey Combs, looks into this other dimension again, this creature comes up to him, and it's got the dude's head, and it's talking to him, and he's, like, merged with this creature from this other dimension.
Ew.
And every time you see him, he's more disgusting and all
like
tentacles
Slither?
And funky stuff. Yeah, like
Ew.
Slither, yeah. And some just bizarre happenings going on in the house.
Somebody was smoking something.
Apparently. But freaky movie. And
it looks very scary. The cover's very scary looking.
It's kind of cool. Like I said, it's a little dated. It's an 80s movie. It wasn't big budget or anything. And, you know, it's not for everyone. But
Was it as 80s and dated as, say, Stargrove?
Stargrove? No, not quite.
No.
And it didn't have that catchy theme song either.
The finger.
Oh, for goodness sake. So, you tell me, I'm amused easily.
I don't know if I should mention it or not, but what you've been talking about in that movie, I don't have a lot of guilty pleasures in my past, right? So I have to give them out very judiciously.
Okay.
but there's an old anime flick called Legend of the Overfiend.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Tentacle porn.
Yeah.
Tentacle porn.
Well, not that I'm a pervert or anything, but...
You are.
I happen to have... Legend of the Overfiend.
On Laserdisc.
On Laserdisc.
Woo! And City of the Overfiend.
Well, I bought the entire... Okay, there were like first like two movies, I guess, or three movies. And then there was like a continuing series, which was crap. But okay. The first like three movies, I bought a Laserdisc box set of them, all unedited, and it was like $100 for this.
Wow, dude. I need to shake your hand. You are demented.
Oh, no. You, thank you. You want to see his house.
Yeah.
It's like a black hole of
geek
film, and it's amazing.
With a giant movie screen.
And a lovely cat.
Right in the living room.
Badass cat. He's got a lovely cat.
Oh, he's got a catzilla.
No, he's wonderful.
He's a
dragon.
Fat. He's a fat cat, but
he's cute.
His name's Dragon.
He used to be a little
Bruce Lee dragon.
Oh, really?
He used to be a little bitty cat.
Or Secret of Nim dragon.
Yeah, and that actually both. Yeah.
Only he's got two eyes. Didn't you? No, I take that back. It was the cat in the last unicorn that only had one eye. Never mind.
Okay.
Well, he was named after the one that had the one eye, I guess, because he had a an eye infection when he was a kid.
Oh, that's right.
So he
did.
His one eye closed all the time.
I
thought you named that because when he was sleeping, he'd kick out.
And that. So it was the two things
that's
together.
That's so cute.
So the name Dragon fit for multiple reasons.
He's cute.
So now we digressed into my cat.
Sorry.
But yeah, Overfiend. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the days when that... anime was just fringe and just starting to come over. I was going to conventions buying bootleg tapes of anime, and I got the Overfiend stuff, and I was like, wow, this stuff is whacked.
Yeah.
I remember we actually had Legend of the Overfiend when I was working at Suncoast and had to pull it. We were told to pull it from the shelves and ship it back.
Yeah. My friend who has the Jeffrey Combs thing, she married the guy who introduced our entire clan to Legend of the Overfiend. And she's like, check this movie out. We'll watch it go like, ew, oh, we can't watch that. What's that?
Tentacle porn, man.
And from then on, it was pretty much like, Michael, is this going to be another Overfiend?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
If it
like,
becomes
Glenn,
a verb.
Is this going to be another RoboCop?
It becomes a verb and an adjective.
Vampire. RoboCop's actually pretty good.
But here's the thing, and I've said this before. I guess I've said it on the show. It makes a big difference whether you watch something translated or dubbed. I mean, mm-hmm. subtitled or dubbed. And when I watched the
dubbed.
Original
subtitled.
Overfiend
dubbed.
Stuff, I watched it all subtitled. The original
yeah.
stuff I saw was fan subtitled. The later on stuff I saw was professionally subtitled. But... this is going to sound crazy because, like you said, they pulled them from the shelves mm-hmm. and stuff. But the original Overfiend movie, they edited it down to an R version and dubbed it into English. And I actually went and saw it at the cinemas that show all the funky movies. What is it? Baxter.
Baxter.
The Baxter actually showed Jirotsuka Doji.
Wow.
And I went to see it. I'm expecting, wow, what's this going to be like seeing this with an audience, you know? And they were all laughing their asses off because it was dubbed, and you just can't take it seriously mm-hmm. when it's dubbed. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the difference, but it's a totally different situation.
I cannot stand watching subtitled movies.
Dubbed movies make me crazy.
No,
I'd rather have it subtitled.
I would much rather listen to the movie than read a movie.
Okay, so you're for dubbed, and you are for subtitles. Okay.
I mean, I've watched so much anime with him over the years that I can get to the point. Where I can do it, but it to me, it takes you out of it having to read what's going on and then having to translate that. And by the time you get it in your head and what's going on, boom, it's on to something else.
And for me, growing up in West Africa with only Kung Fu movies and Hindi movies to watch, everything is subtitled. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it happens automatically.
Right.
I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
Right. So when I go back and think of when I watched a movie, did I see it subtitled or dubbed?
I can't remember.
Right. Because it just all just happened. Now, I will admit the quality of dubbing these days is getting pretty darn good. I mean,
yeah.
That's not like everything's crap like it used to be. It used to be the dubbing was all just so bad, everything was ruined by it.
Not like it's Eagle Riders.
Yeah, so, you know, some things I'll go ahead and watch dubbed, especially if I'm watching it with other people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But for the most part, if it's just me, I'd prefer to watch
it. If it's something I've seen before, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing it with somebody else, then I can do a dub. Well, but
if they advertise like a big star as the one of the voices, you know, it's probably going to be a quality job.
That Hayao Miyazaki, all of his stuff that's coming over under the Disney label, mm-hmm. I think, they've got some very good dubbing there, and I don't mind watching.
Howl's Moving Castle type stuff?
Yeah. And speaking of, Totoro, mm-hmm. Cat Bus, Big Cat.
Okay.
Just to tie it to an earlier thing. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you must see that.
Ooh. Well, you know, I haven't even seen Spirited Away.
Ooh. Oh, dude.
Now, I bought a bootleg of it way before it was available here, and I didn't get around to watching it, and then it came out, and I didn't pick it up, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
Now, keep in mind, I'm kind of a sentimental kind, and I cry easily at movies, and I love those movies, and I'd like recommend them to anybody mm-hmm. at all. And it's just so beautiful, the creativity that goes into those movies. I'll drag anybody to watch one of those movies.
Right.
The extent of my anime collection is Gatchaman.
Like, I like
Which
to
is good stuff.
Yeah, I like to watch a lot of international things, like Jean de Florette, which was all in French, and I can't imagine listening to it and having it not be Jean Depardieu. I can't imagine somebody else's voice coming out of him. And like Amelie,
he could do the dubbing in English.
Right. But I mean, Amelie was so artistic and so beautiful. I can't imagine being distracted by hearing somebody's voice and not, you know, I can't imagine it dubbed.
But then that could go too far with like Mel Gibson's idea to release things in their original language with no subtitles.
Yeah. See, I'd rather have subtitles. Yeah, in that respect.
That's too far.
Well, Mel's gone off the beach.
I've yet to see
bit.
That. I would like to see that. I'd like to see the. I protested
Apocalypto?
Passion of the Christ. Passion of the Christ.
Upset that when it first came out, I refused to buy it because it had no extra stuff. Mm-hmm. I had so many questions about his choices, and I wanted a director's commentary or something, and mm-hmm. there was nothing.
I think they have that out now.
The now. But it's like, when it first came out, I was so angry.
Yeah, but I bought it at like a $5 pawn shop special.
Well, on foreign movies, if my wife were here, she'd mention... I Blame Fidel Castro,
Ooh.
French movie, about a little girl whose parents turned communist.
Ooh.
And it's all from her shift in life kind of thing
yeah.
in French. And it's just a beautiful movie.
Cool.
It doesn't happen in Cuba or anything. Right. It happens in France.
I've written that down. I'm going to look that up.
Okie dokie. Now it somehow shifted from 80s sci-fi into this thing
Sorry.
On dubbing. And
we live in a unified universe.
It's a great big universe, Sam. We're all really loony.
One thing about Guilty Pleasures is I know it's mostly cheesy B movies, but I really mm-hmm. want it to be little gems you may have missed otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I
Jean
tend
de Florette. Jean de Florette,
I tend to gravitate towards, you know, the cheesy... crappy movie stuff, but you know, I also have the cult classic section where there's some 80s stuff that's good quality stuff.
And, yeah,
you know, so it's not bad if I'm reviewing it here. It's just maybe something you wouldn't have heard of before.
You wouldn't really find.
Maybe you looked at the box and go, no, I don't think so. But you know,
yeah.
give it a shot. You know, it's
no,
kind of
the
some cool stuff.
The one before the last Guilty Pleasure is the Innocent Blood.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Innocent Blood.
That's a mainstream.
Yeah, mainstream movie. Love
See,
it.
Great I usually
movie.
Watch weird, obscure English movies
mm-hmm.
that
no,
people
kidding.
Have never heard of.
English, like England
like,
English.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That people.
Yes, she's a Brit trapped in a Yank's body.
Yeah, it's true.
I had a minister like that once.
It's true.
All right. Well, Lynn, any parting thoughts on From Beyond, other than it from the man who is in everything, Jeffrey Combs?
Yeah, we could probably spend the next year watching nothing but Jeffrey Combs movies if we wanted to, but we'd probably go crazy like
the voice
characters from H.P. Lovecraft.
The question in Justice League Unlimited.
Okay, thank you. Now I know.
Really?
But, because yes. I'm like, there has to be something I've seen him in.
Yes, he has a very unmistakable voice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Glenn, I have a question. Since we are approaching the new year, do you have a favorite guilty pleasure of the ones that you've watched?
Ooh.
Or one that you would sooner recommend than another
Stargrove.
One?
Stargrove. Yeah.
Either one that you were afraid of or one that you would say, this is the best one, you have to watch this.
Well,
Stargrove.
If there was one I was afraid of, it would have to be Stargrove.
Okay.
and not to wimp out and just pick something recent, but Innocent Blood, all-time favorite of mine, very underrated. I mean, you brought it up a minute ago. I mean, John Landis.
Yeah.
You know, and the girl in it was the girl from the original La Femme Nikita.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a really cool movie. You know, vampires, mobsters, lots of action.
Vampire bondage scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, blood, guns, and boobs.
Blood, guns, and boobs.
Pretty
That's
much.
That's another episode
what,
title.
What more could you want? You know, so, yeah, I would have to say Innocent Blood. I mean, I've
cool.
watched a lot of cool movies, but Innocent Blood's one that I think most people would have no clue about. You know, if you went out to the person on the street and asked them about the movie. But then a lot of people, you show them the box and they go,
oh,
oh
yeah,
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I think
like, yeah,
that would be the
one. I didn't recognize the title, but having worked at about 4 or 5 video stores over the years.
He's a gypsy.
Yeah, it takes me a while to find a job that put up some idiosyncrasies.
That's true.
And I think that's going to wrap up Guilty Pleasures for this go-around.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn, for giving us another stinky cheese ball of a movie.
Our last guilty pleasure of the year.
Ooh,
exactly.
The subtitle at the far bottom of the movie says, "Humans are such easy prey."
Ooh.
Hmm. Yeah, because, you know, we're pretty stupid.
We don't taste very good.
Tastes like chicken.
I always said Brad had bad taste.
Ooh.
Okay, on that note, we will be holding auditions in 2008 for a new co-host.
Sonny, you want a job?
How much does it pay?
Jack. Jack and crap.
Cookies and chips and cake.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't think that would hit the wife acceptance factor very well.
She's welcome to join us. All right.
So remember, next year, put something strange in your DVD player.
Yes.
All right. And we'll be back right after this.
Everything looks good from here.
In 2002, Firefly was canceled. Brown Coats didn't take that line down.
They never lie down.
We organized.
How drunk was I last night?
Coordinated, engaged in guerrilla marketing, and bought the DVD box set in such numbers that before too long, we found we'd done the impossible. Serenity became a major motion picture.
No more on it. I am the misbehavior.
Now, in 2007, Ground Coats are doing the impossible.
Okay, now I can't get down.
Again. Go to BigDamnSequel.com to find out how you can help get Serenity back on the big screen. BigDamnSequel.com.
The power of the verse can stop me.
Because Serenity 2.
You gotta do something smart.
Is worth fighting for.
Do something right.
www.BigDamnSequel.com.
Keeping the Louisville metro economy going.
Oh, please.
We're back with more pod culture, and we have Geek and Tell.
Lots of stuff.
Part one of 8,592.
Oh, just wait till after Christmas.
No kidding.
You'll have the whole stack, Brad.
Glenn, what do you have for us today to, you know?
All right.
It's like show and tell when you're a kindergartner, but a little more expensive.
I just love the containers. Every time I see them, I'm like, oh, that's just so much better.
Well, as everybody knows, I bought an HD drive for my Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I said I wasn't going to go and replace all my DVDs with HD versions. So, naturally, here's a big stack of HDs.
And Sonny's making a face. I'm excited. What is that?
All right. Well,
it's one of the titles. I'll jump up and down when he gets to
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, I have a video camera.
What's neat is there are, six titles here, mm-hmm. and only one of them did I pay for.
Oh, was that the...
How did you do that?
Nice, huh?
With the coupon for the Cinemain?
When you buy an HD drive, they give you a coupon for 5 free movies.
Ooh.
And they just came in the mail.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's so, been a while, though, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah,
how can I run this past the wife?
Yeah.
He's tried. He still hasn't done it.
I'm lucky to have gotten the HD TV.
It's the method.
Which we have no HD content for, but yeah. We're working on that.
Well, we'll start with the one I actually paid good money for.
All right.
And very, very cool movie, Blade Runner. Everybody knows Blade Runner was just recently re-released.
For the 472nd time.
Well, now you can get all 400-something versions on one set here. This is actually the 5-disc complete collector's edition in HD. And it has the original print and then the director's cut. And then it has a work print.
Yeah.
That's the only one we don't have, I think.
Yeah.
And then there's a new one that's the final cut, the 2007 yeah. final cut. And they're all in HD. Now, of course, all the extras aren't in HD, but all the versions mm-hmm. of the movie are. So I'm very eager to get into this.
Yeah, we picked up pretty much the same thing, except we didn't, you know, of course, we don't have an HD player yet. And with a good upscaling, it's pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah
we
really
picked
is.
Up the 4-disc collector's edition that pretty much has everything there in regular, of course, regular definition. Except for the work print disc. So we might have to talk some.
How would that work?
I don't know.
There you can. He's got the horsepower in that new computer, and you can get the HD drive to work with your. Well, get your system to recognize it.
What if. Oh.
Yes.
What if.
That made for great audio, dear. Raising her hand to talk.
I still do it. I can't help it. What if you put it on the hard drive on the 360?
And then you can't
brought
run,
it. Nah, no, we'll
I'm sure it will show up soon enough on BT Airways.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean,
I was going to go the legal way, but you know, if you want to mince words,
the thing is, you know, as much as I love the movie, and of course I did just buy the 5-disc version. How many times are you going to sit down and watch it? Are you going to watch like all 4 versions in a row?
If you're a
or
Harrison
whatever?
Ford nut, you might.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of wonder how long it's going to take me to sit down and watch all the versions.
Well, I picked it up because I went up to the bookstore the other night. And, well, the time they air it. Time
it's true.
And, of course, it's normally like a $40 set for this 4-disc edition. And I had a coupon, and there was 10% off if you're a member. And they had 10% off all the DVDs at the time. So a stack of discounts.
Well,
I got it for like $20, so awesome. Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that alone makes up the price of the Barnes & Noble yearly membership.
Yep.
So very we're breaking cool. even at the end of the year.
Well, this is one I knew I had to get on HD.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's a visual spectacle movie.
Definitely. And I thought of anything that would look really good, cleaned up and mm-hmm. blown up big. And
don't hurt me. I've
bright.
Never seen
wow.
it.
Oh, man.
It's been years since I've watched it, so I'm due.
Well, I pre-ordered this from Amazon for $29.95.
Damn.
You suck.
So, a very good deal on this. Couldn't pass it up. So, that's the one I actually paid good money for, but not too much money, right?
No,
no
not at
that's
all.
Not. That's
insane.
Would have been, that was less than what this 4-disc standard was. So. Right.
And then here's all the free ones. Now, I think I mentioned to you before they had different categories you
mm-hmm.
could choose from.
Like tier 1, tier 2.
There were 5 categories with like 3 discs each. You could pick one from each category. And there were a couple decent ones, you know, so I had a couple things to choose from. But got some interesting ones here. Aeon Flux.
Okay.
Not the greatest movie ever, but pretty visually
visual
nice.
Yeah, and,
be
you know.
Really nice to see it in HD.
Charlize.
Yeah. Swordfish. Halle Berry.
Oh, yeah. HD boobies.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's Halle Berry, man.
And not the greatest movie ever, but actually, you know, there's some neat story elements and kind of stylish and visual, lots of stars. You know, it was a decent movie.
It's a John Travolta bad guy movie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, he makes a great bad guy.
He does. He's creepy as a bad guy.
It was pretty cool.
Please don't shoot the thermonuclear weapons.
And now we have Michael Douglas in Black Rain. Actually, I really like this movie. I've got it on
Laserdisc.
That's right. But
drink two.
Now, so it wasn't one of the top ones that I was going to get, but when I found out all the extras and things that are on this
I love
special
extras.
Collector's edition, I thought, wow, that will be, it's an older movie, but But it was a very stylish movie, and I thought this will look really good in HD. Mm-hmm. And then all the behind the scenes, the making of it, I thought maybe I could learn something, you know? Very cool. Now,
Frighteners.
Sunny's doing the happiness of joy.
The Frighteners. That's cool. Right. I really enjoyed this movie when it came out, and I think it didn't get enough attention at the time.
I don't remember.
The acting, the colors, the goofy funniness, the New Zealand scenery. It's just beautiful.
Ooh, I want to see it now.
It's a very good movie. And when King Kong was released at the theaters, they released a special edition on DVD.
Ooh.
And I had intended to pick that up, but it was always a little pricey, and I thought, you know, I like that movie, I'd like to own it, but I'm going to wait until I get a good deal on it or whatever. That never really happened. Every time I found it, it was always full price. The price never dropped on it. But then, here it is on HD with 14 minutes of additional footage.
I love extras.
Ooh.
And?
Oh.
14 minutes of additional footage, yeah. So,
and free.
And free. You can't beat the price. So,
dang.
Yeah, very cool. So I'm really eager to see this one. I haven't had a chance to watch any of these yet because I just got them.
And the classic.
And the classic. I'm a big John Carpenter fan. I'm a big Kurt Russell fan. And The Thing, it's got to be his best movie. I know there's people that like Halloween or whatever, but The Thing is just a kick-ass
big
movie.
Orange Rocky guy?
Wrong thing. Yeah.
No. I was hoping that was it, but it isn't.
No.
It's clobbering time.
This I had already had the collector's edition on DVD of this, but Carly, it's one of her favorite movies.
Cool.
So
she inherited it.
She inherited there my you go. DVD, and now I've got it in HD.
He spreads the love.
So very, very cool movie, and I'm eager to see this.
What? What?
So, my mind went there. I'm sorry,
stop
dear.
Stop it.
So those are my movies.
Have a cookie.
And at the Great Escape, they have their Christmas celebration where have sales.
Am I going to have to smack you again?
You're going to have to smack me again.
My second favorite comic store in the Louisville area.
Yes.
They have like 20% off a particular type of item on one day. The next day, they make another item 20% off, but the one from previous day is still on sale. Ooh. Until by the weekend before Christmas, everything's on sale 20% off.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I went there to pick up my comics. Even though I have comics on hold there, they were still 20% off.
Nice.
On that Saturday, they added new comics to the list of 20% off stuff. So, well, save some money there.
Cool.
Stuff I was going to buy anyway. Can't complain. Thought I would check out the games. And there's Clive Barker's Jericho.
Woo.
A video game really up my alley. I knew it was one I really wanted to get, but I've been swamped with other games. And I thought, okay, I can pay top dollar for it, and it can sit there until it really drops in price somewhere else, and I'll have wasted that money.
Yeah, you've done that a couple of times, buying a game brand new, and then
times. I try not to. So this time I was trying to be good. Well, instead of paying $60 for it, I look, and they have a used copy for $39.99.
Okay.
So $40 instead of $60. Not bad.
Not bad, yeah.
20% off.
Oh.
So, take another $8 off. Awesome. I'm looking at $32 for a really new game. It came out like a month ago. $32.
Cool.
So
there you go.
Put it in last night. Been pretty cool so far.
Pretty?
Yeah. Yeah. Looks nice. Of course, I started at like 3 in the morning, so I didn't get to play very long.
Oh, my goodness.
But cool game. Cool game. Cool. And it's kind of paramilitary. It's kind of like the BPRD. They're an occult task force, a secret government military task force that uses psychic powers and witchcraft and stuff to fight against other supernatural things. So definitely right up my alley. And
BPRD, cool, for those might be wondering, is Hellboy's unit.
Ah, cool.
Oh, okay.
So, which I've seen the trailer for Hellboy 2.
I knew it's out. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet.
It's pretty cool. I'm sure.
Could they have gotten anyone else to play the part of Hellboy?
No.
That's
fantastic.
That's definitely Ron Perlman.
So, looking forward to that. And, of course, the Batman trailer's out.
Yay!
Oh, the big, the
Dark
preview.
Knight.
Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. It played before I Am Legend.
Yeah. I mean, so we need to go catch it.
Hopefully we're going next weekend.
Yeah, the weekend, Christmas weekend, I guess, after Christmas.
I want to see Sweeney Todd, and he wants to see I Am Legend. Well, I want to see that, too. But
we're going
to
do our custom-made double feature.
Yes.
I think.
So. I'm excited.
But we actually buy tickets for both, not just hang around and sneak in.
No, we actually buy tickets.
Yeah. So
we like when the actors get paid.
We've picked up a few things here and there over the course of.
He uses "we" so loosely.
Well, you know,
because not one of those things there did I pick out.
I got one because I know you would like it.
That almost counts.
It counts.
It almost counts.
It counts.
Alrighty. Battlestar Galactica Razor. Mm. And I got it from Best Buy because they had an extra disc of behind the scenes stuff, which of course I still haven't watched. Unrated extended edition.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And man, Michelle Forbes is a bitch.
Yeah. I've yet to see her in anything where she's been really nice.
Well, not really nice, but she was okay in Next Gen.
Okay. Stuff.
To show that I'm a, you know, consummate consumer, I bought that as well, even though I haven't been watching Battlestar.
I still own it. You could keep them separate and it would still be okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I was debating if I could watch that on its own or not.
I think
you could.
You
could actually probably watch like the miniseries and then go straight into watching that.
Okay. Because I have seen the miniseries.
Because what it does is a section of it takes place during what's going on with the Galactica. It's like what's going on at the same time with the Pegasus.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's part of the storyline. There's a lot of flashbacks and flash forwards, and it does get a little confusing sometimes with what time track you're on.
The actor that plays young Edward James Olmos is amazing.
Yeah.
He's got the little gestures.
Little mark scars and stuff.
No, but I mean just the way he acts and the way he speaks. He's very good.
Yeah. See, we picked up a bunch of stuff used. Book and Music Exchange on Preston. I was there one day during lunch or something, and they have like 5 for $20 or whatever. So I picked up a handful of stuff. What did I get? Okay, here we go. Pirates of the Caribbean 2, Dead Man's Chest.
Good movie.
I watched it in the theaters.
I didn't like it as much as I liked the first one. I'd like to see the third one and compare that one to.
Yeah, because, you know, of course, you can definitely tell it's a middle movie. But for the $5 or something, okay.
I don't like when they already know it's going to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
Because that was the problem with Back to the Future. The second one was the weakest one, I think.
Exactly.
Because they already knew they were going to have a third one. I like when they don't know, so they try harder.
I really like the second Back to the Future because of the way that they did the filming of the scenes with the where he was... visiting what happens stuff from the first
when he was rebacked.
Yeah, when he goes back.
That was cool, but I mean, just on the whole.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, yay, which we didn't have yet. And for, you know, it's not the fancy schmancy edition, but for $5, to hell with it.
That was a good one. That was scary for kids, I think, towards the end there.
Speaking of Jackie Chan, Around the World in 80 Days.
Oh, yeah.
Which is actually pretty good.
The one thing
I don't like about this movie. Damn DVD case has got those freaking safety tabs on the side.
Okay. How many listeners remember that was his very first rant on one of the earliest shows?
Second episode, I believe, where we reviewed the Serenity DVD.
Uh-huh.
And them damn tabs. Why? It makes absolutely no sense.
No. Sam explained us why. Because if people are into stealing DVDs from the store... They have an easy way to slit it open on the side. They can pop out the disc, and looking at it from the front, you never know.
Well, and people in the store need to be watching better because it's pissing regular consumers off.
Actually, I think the idea behind those is you're supposed to pop those tabs off once you purchase it.
Oh.
Doesn't say anything about that.
I never thought about that.
Try it.
I never thought about that.
And then, just because I bought a cartoon. Because
it's cool.
Bought season one. Of the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, which is...
It's funny.
Yeah, it is. It's stupid, ignorant as
hell. Some of the humor, though, kids don't get.
Yeah.
Just like little thing. It's funny.
It's really cute because the chick that does the voice of Mandy is the voice of Raven in Teen Titans.
Oh, okay.
I think it's cute.
Yeah. See, and for $5. Yeah, what the hell.
$5. Yeah.
Then, day after Thanksgiving... Went to Best Buy, of course, you know, picked up crap, and picked up Darkman Trilogy.
Franchise collection.
Yeah. Because I actually didn't have any of them on DVD, believe it or not. And for like the $7 or $8, had to get them.
$7 or $8? Where did you get them?
Best Buy.
It was the weekend after Thanksgiving.
I mean, it was like It was less than $10.
I saw that at Kmart for like $15 and thought it was a good deal, and I didn't.
It's still a good deal.
I didn't get it at the time, and I went back and couldn't find it, and I've been kind of searching around for it. So
yeah, it was just like the day thing. It was like it was less than $10. I remember that, and I'm like, got to get that.
See, it's Liam Neeson in a phantomy kind of role. I was good.
Yep.
See, I almost got Darkman on HD. It was one of the options.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised. Really surprised you didn't.
And I didn't for one reason.
Why is
I
that?
Black Rain instead, because Black Rain had all sorts of behind the scenes stuff.
Ah.
Yeah,
and Darkman had no extras at all.
Oh, that makes me sad. I've done that. I've not gotten things because they didn't have extras. Because
you know, eventually they'll do it. And then I picked up a pair of DVDs that are actually more up Glenn's alley. I'm
but
sure.
They sound really good.
It's one of those 2-for-10 packs. It's two Korean sci-fi type of movies. 2009 Lost Memories and Yesterday. It looks like. These definitely look like they're more up Glenn's alley.
No, I like, they sound good. I'd watch them.
I would have picked them up if I saw them.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So I saw them like, okay, I'll check them out. And I think they were on sale too, like $7 or something like that.
Yesterday sounds interesting. I'm a history buff and I love to watch the History Channel.
See. Yesterday is set in the futuristic inner city of a unified Korea, circa 2020 AD. A series of grisly murders propel an overworked police investigator and a celebrated forensic profiler into a nightmare spiral of death and discovery, which proves that sometimes things are not always as they seem. Staying one step ahead of the police, a virtuoso killer known as Goliath is able to unravel a mystery which has haunted authorities for nearly 30 years.
And the other one, if the Allies in World War II had been different.
2009,
yeah.
Lost Memories.
It sounds really good.
What if everything you knew was a lie? What if Japan allied with the United States during World War II? What if the atom bombs were dropped on Berlin instead of Hiroshima and Nagasaki? What if the sovereign nation of Korea never existed? To JBI agent, and I'm not even going to try to say that name, these questions are not the subject of speculation. They're history. However, during routine investigation of a terrorist attack upon a museum displaying ancient cultural artifacts, he uncovers a web of intrigue which leads him to an underground band of freedom fighters willing to risk everything to acquire an ancient relic known as the Lunar Soul. As he unravels the mystery, everything he ever knew about the world he lives in will be turned inside out. Thrilling science fiction and political intrigue collide in this fast-paced, romanticized thriller. Set in the near future, 2009 Lost Memories is proof positive that contemporary Asian cinema is being refined by a handful of talented new Korean filmmakers.
Very nice.
It sounds good. I mean,
yeah.
I'm always
interested. Yeah, it does. And I picked up, I'm like, yeah, that definitely sounds like something Glenn would watch.
I like when they set things in the future and it's really not that far in the future. Or, like, you know, they say, well, in 1999 they're going to have flying cars. I'm like, okay. Well,
I want my flying car.
I'm waiting for, you know, teleportation and flying cars and...
Yeah, that blurb reminded me of a book I read a long time ago, like in the early 80s.
In the galaxy
like the
far, far away.
Proteus or Proteon experiment or something. People from a future where Hitler won World War II get sent back in time to 1936. And they are prepped because back then, you know, it was loose and high-flying kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they take up residence, and there's this one chapter, they take up residence in this place in Chicago or something, and the mob tries to extort money from them and kidnaps their girlfriends. Now, these are battle-hardened warriors who have only seen war, and they know how to kill you with their pinky. And then that chapter is written from the perspective of the mob as these guys come in.
Oh,
and take
cool.
Them
that
it's
sounds
just
really
cool.
Good.
That sounds like Glenn's kind of movie, too.
Yeah.
That was a book,
yeah,
though.
It was a book, yeah.
That
or book,
good,
yeah.
Yeah.
If they made a movie, it would be Glenn's kind
of
movie.
Oh, totally, totally. Heck, I would pay top dollar for
I'm
that.
I'm surprised they haven't. That sounds like something they would jump on.
Well, I guess that wraps up our DVDs
stuff.
And stuff this time. So we're going to take a break, refresh ourselves.
Yes.
Because, you know, we've been geeking a while, and we need to wet our whistle and fill our bellies. So we will be back right after this.
Hi, Tom. It's Rob Balder. I was wondering if you could cover my Fump song this week. You know my trick knee? Well, it was arrested for solicitation of prostitution, so I'm going to have to kind of sort that out.
Hey, Tom. Tom, it's Carrie. I know I'm supposed to record a song tonight, but I really need to watch Heroes. It's for a class I'm taking. Yeah, so could you do a song for me? Thanks, bye.
It's 10 o'clock on a Thursday, and the regular thump song ain't done. So they give me a ring. They know I'll have something finished by 11:51.
Hey, Tom, what's up? Hey, listen, I know I'm supposed to post a new song tomorrow, but it's not quite ready yet, and this dishwasher ain't gonna empty itself.
Rob Balder is silly and wears great nerd glasses, and Devo does techno geek rap. But me, I'm here to cover their asses when the other guys run out of crap.
Hi, Tom. It's Robert Lund. You know, last weekend I was kidnapped by an army of feminoids from the planet Thong.
I've got a rep for fast song work, but the pressure sometimes is intense. I write and I mix with some audio tricks, and I pray that the damn thing makes sense.
They're about to perform some more experiments on me, and frankly, I'm really not that anxious to escape. Anyway, I need you to do something for me, but I forgot what it was. Actually, I think I'm just calling to brag.
Luke Ski is ambitious, so many huge plans. The Gothsicles have them as well. But me, I'm here to cover their cans when everything goes all to hell.
Hey, this is the Sea Monkey. Look, man, I got wind of this really... I got invited to this really great slumber party, so I'm not going to be able to make my phone deadline. I was wondering if you could cover it for me. I'm really...
Now possible Oscar have talent, musicianship seeps from their pores. But when in the schedule they're over their heads, they'll pound my metaphorical doors.
Hey Tom, it's Bud Sharp from Possible Oscar here. Say, I'm wondering if you can cover a slot on the Fumpsy. A little bit of a car accident and kind of lost my arm. So there's not going to be a lot of drumming for the next 6 to 8 weeks while they try to reattach it.
The Bards go on tour from midsummer to Easter, and Raymond and Scum all year long. But me, I'm here to cover their keisters when instantly they need a song.
I haven't had time to do a song because I've decided the name Robert Blunt, it isn't flashy enough, and I've been spending all my time coming up with a new name. I'm thinking something more exciting, like the Napalm Giga Heroes.
When sea monkeys lost in the bushes,
the Money Shot Cosmonauts,
and Paul and Storm bust their balloons,
Tom Smith.
Me, I'm here to cover their tushes, so Dr. Demento has tunes. When Colton is touring and MC Lars is too busy to throw stuff our way, me, I'm here to cover their arses. Here I come to save the day. When Carrie and Carla are both going nuts, when Shoebox's keyboard just croaks, me, I'm here to cover their butts and hopefully make up new jokes.
Look, man, I know it's our day to be submitting a Fump track, but let's be honest, Raymond and Scum, we're the least popular group on this thing. Nobody would really notice if we didn't do it, so why don't you take it, man? And maybe next month, too, would be cool.
And now that I've shown you what brass is, I think that we're at the last line. It's really no problem to cover their asses. Someday I'll ask them to do mine.
Hey, Tom, this is Luke Ski. Can you fill in for me? I need a little more time to finish up my next Fump song. It's a 37-minute filth piece summarizing every vampire versus werewolf story ever written, as performed by 80s rapper Humpty Hump as Van Helsing. It's called Digital Underworld. It's going to be great. Thanks.
This is Shoebox. I know I said I'd record a
fake answer machine message for your Cover Your Ass song, but I'm really not going to be able to get to it on time, so I was wondering if you could maybe write a line for me, maybe something that kind of sounds like something I'd say, and you could maybe record it yourself, kind of mimicking my voice. Yeah, that'd be great. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Brad. This is where we take a little bit of a break. Remember, Pod Culture is a podcast that's recorded every other week, split into two parts, and then sent down the podcast feed weekly. So tune in again, same time next week, for another geek-filled episode of Pod Culture.
And if you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are a few different ways, including these email addresses.
You can email any one of us at Brad, Glenn, or Christina at podculture.net.
And should they want to reach us the old-fashioned way,
that address would be Podculture, care of Chroma Entertainment, P.O. Box 4117, Jeffersonville, Indiana, 47131-4117.
You can also give us a call on the Podculture voicemail line, and that phone number is 1-206-338-3POD.
And there are also the official Pod Culture forums located at forums.podculture.net. And you'll find a link to that on our website, www.podculture.net.
So drop us a line, give us a call, or send us an MP3. Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.
Be seeing you.